In previous episodes, we explored the four quadrants that make up motivation. Every action you take, every decision that you make, no matter how great or insignificant, means that all four of the motivational types are in the positive. It means that there is intrinsic investment in that you are motivated by your personality. You like things, you dislike things, you are hardwired to be a certain way, and you behave accordingly. It also means that you have intrinsic instrument. Not only is it in your nature to behave a certain way, but you have the means and ability to do so. You know what to do, and you know how to do it. And the world is letting you by way of extrinsic instrument. When you take action, the world rewards you and encourages you. There are no physical obstacles to your success. Identifying where you stand in all of this is an important part of maintaining the motivation to do it. Because, sure enough, if any of those four things no longer works, motivation will not be sustained. So how does this apply to real life? In the introduction, I gave the example of Tim Hortons donuts. But there are, of course, other things that we do with our day. My particular area of expertise is education. Having been an educator for over 20 years, I can tell you that motivation is the key to any learning. Anyone can tell you that if you don't want to learn something, it's going to be very difficult to learn it. Traditional education does not concern itself with motivation. Students were motivated by terror. Even I am old enough to remember corporal punishment in schools. Since most education systems have mercifully abolished this barbaric system, less physical coercive methods have taken their place. It is only really recently that motivational theory has made its way into pedagogy. There are many who still swear by the old ways, often citing outdated studies or their own experience as evidence of its effectiveness. I'm sure that there were some who thrived in this environment, but in hindsight, the success is difficult to assess. In fact, just for fun, let's put corporal punishment practices to a codified motivational profile. Let's start with the child. Intrinsic investment. Children are inherently curious and hyper-focused on learning. Intrinsic instrument. They yearn for an environment that is conducive to exploration, play, skills building. Extrinsic instrument. They are placed in a rigid, regimented space and subjected to an industrialized and competitive environment. Extrinsic investment. When they conform to this regime, and some of them do, they are rewarded with continued learning. And when they don't, they are subjected to punishment and relegation to inferior social status. In turn, this extrinsic investment has an effect on the child's intrinsic investment at a formative stage, thus internalizing either the trauma of failure or the inclusion of success. I don't want to get into the psychology of child development here. I would rather explore how motivation actually works in education, not how it doesn't work. The error that is often made in studies on motivation in education is looking at it as the goal of motivating students to learn. At first, that does seem like the goal here, but seeing as children are boundlessly motivated to learn, the idea of creating motivation seems redundant. As a society, we are stuck on the idea of controlling motivation. Traditional education has a curriculum of notions that have to be instilled upon their audience, and if they don't do it, they are corrected. But now we understand that motivation is fluid and works by momentum. So rather than trying to figure out how to teach something, let's figure out what happens when someone learns something. The first part stays the same: intrinsic investment. The student is curious and wants to know how to do things. Intrinsic instrument. They explore their environment and try to figure out how to do those things. This is where educators step in. Extrinsic instrument. The student is offered a safe environment where important lessons can be tried and tested without the normal consequences. All the while, they learn the social aspects of participating with society. Then, as the child progresses in this environment, the educators assist in this process by affirming the moral value of each lesson learned. They are there to model styles of behavior, evaluate their progress, and offer expertise. Each motivation type by chain reaction invigorates the next motivation type. Intrinsic investment stimulates intrinsic instrument. Intrinsic instrument responds to extrinsic instrument. Extrinsic instrument is affirmed by extrinsic investment, and extrinsic investment forms intrinsic investment. That is how it happens when it happens on its own. If you let the water flow down the river without blocking it or pumping it, it will move effortlessly in this way. The trick for educators and curriculum designers is to put the things that they want the students to learn along that river. Not a mile inland where they need to divert the river through a system of pumping stations and canals, but literally in the path of the river. If learning is the actual goal and the student's best interest is being considered and every student's success is expected, then it is up to educators to create motivational profiles for their students and build curriculum and pedagogy accordingly. Now, I know what you're thinking. Thank you, Captain Obvious, for your utopian educational ideals. But schools simply don't work like that. There are budget cuts, class structures, ideologies, time constraints, learning disabilities. The list of obstacles is endless. So there is no magic solution. But if in fact those things are the obstacles, then we have to stop ignoring them. If the problem is the budget, then making students work harder is not the solution. The problem is extrinsic instrument, not intrinsic instrument. And if the problem is ideology, then students' attitudes are not the problem. The problem is extrinsic investment, not intrinsic investment. As we learned in the introduction, you cannot solve a problem of extrinsic investment by putting pressure on intrinsic investment, or vice versa. The first step to understanding codified motivational profiles is accepting that motivation is flow. It's a flowing river. If you block it, the flow becomes unmanageable, and it's no use to try to push the river to go faster. Motivation is already an unstoppable force. The students already know how to learn. It is for educators to tap that motivation, harness that energy, and stop trying to generate it.